Some men try so hard to prove that God's not really real, while others say they know for sure His love you cannot feel. But I know He's real within my soul, for one day He cleansed and made me whole. Jesus is still the answer for that longing deep in your soul. Jesus is still the answer, and the time and ages roll. Jesus is still the answer, He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say He doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know that Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and always will be. Some men pretend that the things of this world have brought them peace of mind, but with the dawn of each new day, new thrills they try to find. Not until they meet the Prince of Peace can they ever hope to find relief. For Jesus is still the answer for a world that's seeking for peace. Jesus is still the answer, and though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. And though some may say He doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is still the answer. He's always been and always will be. He's always been and always will be.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. And there's a lot of truth in that song. And, you know, as you listen this morning, you listen to the music, and you know, I think pretty much most everybody here enjoys music. I enjoy the right kind of music, music that glorifies God, and that's the reason I love to hear good singing, and in church, songs that magnify the Lord, and I appreciate that. Mrs. Garner, what a great truth that was revealed in that song. Daniel chapter 6 is where we're going to be this morning. Daniel chapter number 6. Now, most people, and I'll make a few references to that. Most people, when you think of Daniel, you think, oh, he's going to talk about the den of lions. Daniel in the den of lions. Well, I'll make a reference to that, but that's not the focus of what I want to speak on this morning. While you're turning there, I want to speak on the subject about making spiritual decisions for the Savior. Making spiritual decisions for the Savior. See, the thing about it, in Daniel's life, he made a lot of decisions, but they were spiritual decisions that produced a positive result. What we want is we want to make foolish decisions and expect God to produce a positive result from those decisions. And folks, that's just not going to happen. Daniel, there was a reason. There was a reason why God favored him and honored him. And we're going to look at those things just one. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the reading of the Word of God? We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel." In other words, this guy didn't seem to have any character flaws. So we're not going to be able to find an occasion against his integrity, against his morals, against his practice. So the scripture says, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together the king and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever." Buttering him up right there. "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute," which is lies. "And to make a..." By the way, did you see that? They tried to include and said, "Well, listen, everybody's doing this. Everybody believes what we believe." That's baloney, folks. They stirred this up themselves. But they were trying to make the king feel that everybody is on board with this. They said they've consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be changed, or that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, because I'm sure that it was announced, it was probably on billboards, it was probably on the radio and TV and internet and all kinds of things like that. And so it was probably all over social media that, hey, this decree had gone out. Y'all don't believe it existed that day? In that day? Yeah. Yeah. Do you know social media invented? It's called the mouth. Okay. So word got around. And so now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Stop. Did you notice nothing changed about his religion? Nothing changed about his commitment? Nothing changed about his dedication? Nothing changed about his purpose? Nothing changed about his relationship with God, even though everything around him changed? He changed not. He continued on as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found David praying and making supplication before his God. And then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "Well, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then you'll find in verse 16 that everything Darius did to try to get around and skirt around the decree, they held him to the law. And Daniel found himself in a den of lions shortly thereafter. Now, I want to take these scripture verses this morning. I want to preach to you about making spiritual decisions for the Savior. Father, meet with us in the short period of time that we have. We're so grateful to be here this morning. Now, Father, my prayer is that every person this morning would examine themselves, and at this moment that they might open their spirit to receive the teaching and preaching of your word. My prayer is simply this morning, Lord, that we came this morning with a need, that we would leave this morning having that need fulfilled. That's only going to take place if our heart and spirit is sensitive and in tune with the teaching and preaching of your word. that would you have your way. Thank you for all that you do in our lives, for being such a good God. Give all the glory and praise to thee in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, today, we live in a depraved and deteriorating society. Amen, preacher. I'll just amen myself right there. Now, the thing about it is, if you say, well, everything is as it was from the beginning, you need my glasses. Because it's not the same as God started off. It's not what God's plan was. It's not how God had laid the plan out to be. Man has corrupted himself. You see, sin and Satan are taking their toll on man's fleshly weaknesses. Listen, folks, society seems to have adopted the eat, drink, and be merry philosophy. For tomorrow we die, so let's just enjoy ourselves today. You see, mankind has decided to do that which was right in his own eyes. Now, while sin abounds in our world and unfortunately in our homes, Satan has worked hard at manipulating a false ideology, listen now, and a false perception of God around the world. You see, he knew that he could not eradicate Christianity. Oh, by the way, did you notice here that the presidents and those that they tried to include in their little realm, in their little deceptive manipulation process, did you notice there that they could not find an occasion against the testimony of Daniel? They found an occasion against the law of the God of Daniel. You see, the thing about it is, Satan knows he's not going to eradicate Christianity from the face of the world and from the face of the earth. So what he decided to do then is to play on the prideful and political weaknesses that exist in our world today. Listen now, to bring an occasion against our God. And so he's used and manipulated the system. And now we believers now find ourselves in the system of Satan's world in which he's brought in evil concepts. You say, like what evil concepts? Like humanism. Like man is a god unto himself. Man worship. He's brought in other false ideas like socialism. Oh, by the way, socialism has never worked in the history of the world. Amen, preacher. And since socialism has never worked in the history of the world, it's not going to work in America regardless of who tries to implement it. Okay? Socialism has been brought in. You know what? It's government dependence. Hey, folks, I thought that in the scriptures we're supposed to be dependent on our God, not a government. And yet Satan has infiltrated these false ideas, these evil concepts, and then he went so far as to implement the idea of communism, which is radical socialism. Now, listen, folks, the next step from socialism is communism. Communism is a radical form of socialism. And then he began to implement, even in the church, things like situational ethics, such as a system by which acts are judged now based on their context, not moral principles. In other words, let me bring it down on the bottom table. It doesn't really matter what the end result, as long as you're okay with it, it's fine. In other words, if you had to lie to get out of a situation, that's fine because it required lying to get out of that situation. Listen, you understand the Bible still says lying is sin? Stealing is sin? But yet Satan has implemented these ideas and then it leads to things like evolutionism. And now he's beginning to toy for years and play with the existence of God, which then leads to atheism, which is nothing more than a doctrine. A teaching of no existence of deity of any kind. Now listen to me, folks. You better listen to me well. Daniel was in such a type environment. Though it may not have been called humanism, it may not have been called communism. Listen, in his day, it was a monarch. You didn't have an opinion. You didn't have a voice. Just whatever the power of that day said, that's just the way it was. You know, the sad thing is the world is being ruled from the grave today. Do you realize that the world and the philosophies of the world are being ruled from the grave today by men like Charles Darwin? Men like Voltaire and Karl Marx and Greek mythologists and even Adolf Hitler in the recent time period. Our world is, and the philosophies and the ideologies are being ruled from the grave by these men. And yet our world has been invaded by lies and false doctrine, false accusations, misrepresented ideas. And now we're surrounded by a society and a philosophy in which we must decide either to become a part of or stand up for truth. You see, we're in the same situation that Daniel was in. You're either going to have to decide to compromise or you're going to decide to stand up for the favor of God, the Word of God, the Church of God, the will of God, the plan of God, or you're going to decide to go the way of compromise. You see, spiritual decision was in the face of Daniel. He had to make a choice, and he had to make a choice right then. Oh, by the way, did you notice that he also knew what was going on around him? The Scripture says when he knew that the decree had been performed and the decree had gone forth, he didn't change anything. He didn't change anything. You see, we must not exhaust all of our resources. Listen to me. We cannot, as a church, waste all of our resources trying to save a depraved culture. We spend too much of our time trying to save a culture and we let the church go. We let Christian values go. Hey folks, look around. Look around at the culture that we live in. It's immoral. The culture is on its way to hell in a handbasket. You see, this is nothing more than a world that's been infiltrated and indoctrinated with satanic philosophies. And if we're not careful, we'll get our attention off of the main thing and try to save a culture and let the church go. That is not our call. Our call is to keep reviving the name and the program of Jesus Christ. It's our job to promote Christianity and the church. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Hey, listen, I think he had the right philosophy. I think his philosophy was, listen, there's no way I can change the culture if I don't change who the people are that make up the culture. He said, I've got to be able to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, Brother and Mrs. Downs, in Ethiopia, you're not going to change the culture until you change the Savior of the people that make up the culture. See, what we do is we approach it backwards. We think that it's our job to save the culture and let the church go, when what we need to do is we need to reach people with the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel was in a very precarious situation. You see, Daniel lived in a land where there was no respect for his God. There was no respect for his God. There was no worship for his God. You see, Jehovah was not a part of the culture of the Medes and the Persians. He was not honored. He was not respected in their government, in their laws of any kind. Now, how would you like to live in a country like that and still try to serve God and make spiritual decisions for Jesus Christ? You see, Daniel lived in captivity. There was no democracy. There was no republic. There was a world power with one king, and he made all the decisions. You see, what I'm saying is Daniel was in a very similar situation that we find ourselves today in America. You see, Daniel was a stranger in a land trying to live for God in a place, listen now, that he knew at some point his faith was going to be called. At some point, somebody was going to call him on what he believed. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, single adults. Listen to me, married couples. Listen to me, senior saints. There's coming a day in this country, whether I live to see it or not, your faith will be called into accountability. And you're either going to stand for truth or you're going to cow down and compromise. Daniel decided, I'm not cowing down. I'm just not going to cow down. You see, he lived as a stranger in the land. People looked at him and said, man, what is he, some kind of Bible thumper or something? You see, the thing about it is, there used to be a day where church was the norm, and when you went to, if you didn't go to church, you were abnormal. But now, if you go to church, now you're abnormal. People look at us like we're nuts for going to church. Oh, I just don't do that organized religion thing anymore. Well, what do you do? What do you do? You know, most people that have that philosophy do nothing. They just kind of cruise through life. You see, Daniel sensed the times were progressively getting worse. Can I ask you this? Do you sense the times of America are getting worse? Anybody in here vote that's getting better? That's what I thought. So it means it's getting worse, right? So Daniel sensed that in his day, times, things were progressively getting worse. Listen now, and his friends were getting fewer. See, what we want is we want everybody to like us. I had to get over that long time ago. And you know why I had to get over that long time ago? That not everybody's going to like me? Because they don't like Jesus. And I represent the Lord, and so therefore, since they don't like Him, they don't like me. And folks, let me tell you something. If we don't get over ourselves and realize that everybody's going to like you because you're a Christian and that your faith will be called in accountability, Daniel's was. God is no respecter of persons. He's going to call our faith into accountability. And yet Daniel's moment of truth was about to present itself. And can I say to you this morning, listen to me, in America, our moment of truth is about to present itself. And we're going to find out who the real, genuine Christians are. Now listen, I didn't say who the believers were. I said who the Christians are. Because there's a difference between a believer and a Christian. Listen, what I'm saying to you today is this. There's a lot of people that have accepted Christ, but there's not a lot of people practicing Christianity. Daniel was not only a believer, he was a Christian. He practiced what he promoted. He practiced what he preached. He practiced everything that he believed. I want you to listen to some of the things that the Scripture said about Daniel's character. In Daniel 5:12 and Daniel 6:3, the Bible says he had an excellent spirit. He had an excellent spirit. You know the people that are going to make it in our day when their faith and their Christianity is called in accountability? The people with an excellent spirit. The people who are in tune with Jesus Christ, that have more of God in them than they do the world. You see, He had an excellent spirit. Daniel 5:12 said again that he was full of knowledge and understanding. Folks, listen to me. Most Christians today, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just telling you the truth, all right? I'm just telling you that most Christians today are ignorant. Now listen to me. I didn't say stupid. I didn't say dumb. I said most Christians are ignorant, which means they're unlearned. They don't know the principles. They don't know the book. And so therefore, because they don't know the book, they are easily enticed. They are easily manipulated. They are easily fooled. Why do you think that there's going to come a day, my dear friend, that the society is going to turn in the way of the Antichrist and there will be some knuckleheads that will follow after that policy, that prince? Why? Because they don't know the book. Daniel had an excellent spirit, but he was a man of knowledge and understanding. He knew what the book said. Oh, by the way, can I step back and just say something to me? When I preach, check me out. Don't take everything out. Check me out. Hey, look, you're not. This isn't man worship here. This is God worship. Check out the Word of God. You see, he had knowledge and understanding. Daniel 5:11 says, "In whom is the Spirit of God?" He was full and in total control of the Spirit of God. Daniel 6:4 said he was faithful. Daniel 6:4 also said that he was consecrated. You see, Daniel had already made a decision to stand for God before the moment of truth ever got there. You see, here's what's going to happen. The people that are going to depart from the faith, the people that are going to leave churches, the people that are going to run and compromise will be the people that have not made a decision and determined what they believe and what the truth is. So when the day of adversity comes, they're the ones that's going to be running. But if you'll decide today what is the truth, what you believe, and what the Word of God says, listen to me, in your day of adversity, you will stand for God. Now, you say, but I'm afraid. I understand that. But you know, I'm sure that in Daniel's day, when he realized, man, now listen, if I do what I've always done, there's a den of lions waiting for me. But if I don't stand, do I want to face the lion's mouth and do I want to look a lion in the face, or do I want to go back and look my family in the face and tell them I'm a compromiser? Now, which one do you want to do? Do you want to go back and face adversity, Or do you want to go and you want to face your family and your children and your grandchildren and your friends? And they say, yeah, that's what I thought. You know, Christian. That's what I thought. Just a moment adversity comes, you're going to cow down. Now listen to me. The reason that most people are afraid to make spiritual decisions for the Savior are because of opposition from your meaningful relationships. People are afraid that their relationships will be severed. Listen to me now, with family and friends. Can I ask you something? Who saved your soul, family or friends? Or did Jesus save your soul? You see, what I'm saying today is we're going to have to decide who are we going to follow. Oh, we're going to have to decide what book we're going to follow. We're going to have to decide what body of doctrine we're going to follow. And what I'm saying today, a lot of people are afraid because of the opposition that will come their way through meaningful relationships. Look to me like David kind of put that on the shelf. Yeah. You say, well, he didn't have any family. Well, how do you know that? You see, what I'm saying is he made a decision not based on his relationships with people. He made a decision based on his relationship with his God. But people are also afraid, listen now, if they make a spiritual decision that God won't have their back. That God will not back up their decisions. They're afraid that God will not, if they make a spiritual decision, they're afraid of what the future holds. And if they do something for God and step out by faith, they're wondering, they're afraid, is God going to have my back? Well, let me ask you this. When Daniel made that decision, had God had his back before? Yeah. Had God backed him up before? Yeah. Hey, you know what? That's the reason he could make this decision. Except this time, he wasn't just facing prison. This time he was facing death. And he made a decision, I'm going to stand up for what's right. Because God has backed me in the past. And if he did in the past, he'll do it again in the future. And he made a decision knowing that God will back him up. Go check me out. Did God deliver him from the den of lions? Go help me out. I said, did he or did he not? Let me prove it to you. Take your Bible. Turn over, if you would, to verse number 22. Are you still there in Daniel 6? In Daniel 6? Look at verse 21. The king, for sake of time, I'm going to read all. The king gets to the den of lions. They roll the stone and the king says, Daniel, has your God delivered you? Look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. Help me out now, but it seemed like God had his back, right? It seemed like because he made a decision for God that God said, I will do something on your behalf to show the world how great a God that I am. But people are afraid to make a decision because they're afraid of opposition. They're afraid that maybe God's not going to have their back. Listen now, sometimes people are afraid to make spiritual decisions for the Savior because of the growing pains that come with change. There's growing pains that come with it. And very few people want to go through the growing pains that are required to make the kind of decisions that Daniel made. Listen, they're afraid. Oh, listen, if I make that spiritual decision, I might make a mistake. Hey, join the club. You might say, well, I might make a mistake or I might fail. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. That's part of my middle name. Hey, what I'm saying, listen to me. Just because you fail, it doesn't make you a permanent failure. Hey, the scripture says a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Hey, the only time you can be considered a failure is if you stay down and don't try no more. You see, growing pains will include mistakes and failures. Listen to me. And disappointments. Anybody here ever been disappointed by somebody? Yeah, people are going to disappoint you. Family members will disappoint you. Spouses will disappoint you. Aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, bosses. Anybody here ever been disappointed by the boss? You say, yeah, every time I look at my check. Hey, I'm just saying there's growing pains that come by mistakes and failures and disappointments. And then another growing pain that comes is heartaches. Heartaches come. Hey, trials and tribulation comes. Separations come. But they're all part of the growing pains that come with change. Now, I'll give you real quick three things. I want you to jot them down. Here are the things that I find in the Scripture that Daniel made a spiritual decision about. Well, obviously, from the Scriptures, we don't have time to go and examine all the chapters, all 12 chapters of the book of Daniel, but what we will do is this. We will presume something, all right? We will presume, number one, that Daniel at some point in his life made a spiritual decision about salvation. Everybody on board with that? Okay, at some point, Daniel made a spiritual decision to put his faith and trust in his God. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2 says. It says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know what part of Daniel's decision was? The decision was, I'm making the decision, not tomorrow. I'm not making it next week. I'm making the decision about my God now. I'm making it right now. You see, what I'm saying to you, my friend, is we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Daniel, at some point, had to make a decision about salvation. Listen, we do not have the written account of his conversion, but we know that he was converted. He was a believer because he is referenced in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith. You don't make that hall of faith without being a born-again believer. And God referenced him in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33. Hey, listen, Daniel was converted then through the same manner. We can be converted. You say, wait a minute, preacher, how was he saved? Same way you can be saved today. By grace, through faith, in the Savior. You say, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't alive at that time. Who did he put his faith and trust in? Christ. So wait a minute. I thought he was in the Old Testament. Jesus didn't come around to the New Testament. Well, let me ask you something. According to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7, the Scripture says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." Listen to me. "And these three are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Oh, listen to me. "And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." You know who Daniel put his trust in? He put his trust in God. He put his trust in the Savior. Listen, the thing about it is, what I'm trying to help you with today is, Daniel didn't get saved any different than you can be saved today. Same grace, same faith, no different plan in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. You see, some need to make a spiritual decision about salvation. See, that's kind of what got David started on this whole trip. Salvation is what catapulted him in to the spiritual decision-making process. Here's the second thing I see from Scripture. Go back, if you would, to Daniel chapter 1 for just a moment. Daniel chapter 1. I said the first spiritual decision that needs to be made by some this morning is the spiritual decision about salvation. If you know not Jesus Christ this morning, you could come just like David did, or Daniel did at some point in his life, and got born into the family of God. Hey, he was just a sinner just as much as you and I were. He needed to be saved just as much as you and I do. And he came at some point and put his faith and trust in Christ and got gloriously born into the family of God. Same way you and I get saved today, by grace through faith. But I want to show you something else, a spiritual decision that David made, Daniel made. In Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. Now, we don't have time to read everything, but keep in mind, Daniel's in captivity now. And listen, many times when you're in captivity, you're force-fed. You're force-fed philosophy. You're force-fed ideas. You're force-fed things that normally you would not take on if it was up to you. Listen to verse number 8. The Scripture says, "But Daniel purposed," circle the word purpose there. That means he made up his mind. He was settled. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You see that word purposed right there? Daniel had made a decision, not only a spiritual decision about salvation, listen now, but Daniel had made a decision also about separation. He had made a decision about separation. He had made a decision in his life that he would be separate from the crowd. Listen to me, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Didn't say the Baptist church. It said, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So listen, Daniel made a decision to come out and be separate. Guess what God wants you and I to do today? If you're a child of God, He wants you to come out and be separate as well. You see, that decision today that we find that Daniel made that decision on, listen now, was based on the knowledge of God's Word. You know how he was able to purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat? Is because we find out that he had knowledge and understanding according to the Scriptures. See, the reason that some people don't understand separation and consecration today is because they don't have knowledge and understanding of the book. You see, in order to be separate from the world, that decision's going to have to be based on the knowledge of the Word of God. Hey, listen, when you go back and read Daniel's resume, it says excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding, in whom the Spirit of God was, faithfulness, consecrated. Man, that sounds like a resume. You'd hire a guy like that, wouldn't you? That's what his resume says. So guess what? When it came to separation, it was no-brainer. No-brainer. You know why? Because the decision in order to separate had already been made. He had already decided, I'm living for God. I'm not living like I used to. Listen to what the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians. The Scripture says very carefully here that, listen, upon salvation, you know what we are? We are a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, not he might, or he works into it. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Daniel had already purposed, he had already made a spiritual decision, listen now, after salvation, about separation. See, there are some people that aren't even saved trying to make decisions about separation. You're not going to be able to do that and keep it. You see, because what the motivating factor about separation is salvation. That's what the motivating factor is. So Daniel made a decision based on his knowledge. Listen now, he also made this decision about separation based on the purpose of God's plan. You say, what is the purpose of God? Hey folks, listen to me. The Word of God is ready and available for the whole world. But you know what God needs to add? Some confirmation. You know what God needs to add to the world? He needs some visual aids. Amen. Yeah. He needs some visual aids. He needs some believers that will be willing to separate themselves and consecrate themselves unto the things of God. He needs visible change. He needs visible commitment. That's what he needs. You say, well, he's got the Word of God. No, when you go, it doesn't matter whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, my friend. God demanded visual aid. And so that decision that Daniel made was not just based on knowledge. It was based on the purpose of the plan of God. But you know something? Probably the greatest motivating factor outside the knowledge and the purpose was that he made that decision to separate based on pleasing God. Look at Daniel 6. Turn there if you would for just a second. Daniel 6 and verse 10 for just a moment. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened in the chamber toward Jerusalem. Listen now, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, listen now, and gave thanks before his God. So it wasn't just motivated by knowledge and understanding. That decision to separate wasn't just motivated just simply by the purpose that God needed visually. Listen, his greatest motivating factor is because he decided to please God. Hey, folks, listen to me. Is it okay as a believer that we just decide to please God? Hey, the Scripture says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Oh, listen to this, which is your reasonable service. Based on what you got concerning what you ought to get, He said, I'm giving you a home in heaven, eternity with me, a mansion in heaven, gold streets to walk upon, a heavenly choir to be a part of. He said, compared to what you should get, and that's hell forever. He said, it's your reasonable service. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you're a child of God today, God expects you to make a spiritual decision to be separate from the world. Now here's the last thing. The last thing is this. Is that Daniel made a decision at some point, a spiritual decision about salvation. He made a spiritual decision about separation. And then here's the third thing, is he made a spiritual decision about subjection. He made a spiritual decision about subjection. In other words, listen to me, go check me out. I don't find any place in the Bible when they came to get Daniel and said, okay, buddy, let's go. He said, I'm going to knock you in the head. You come after me. You come to my house, you're going to be looking down a double-barrel shotgun. You come after me, man, we're going to go fisticuffing. Do you know, I don't find any place in Scripture when they came after Daniel that he resisted. You know why? Because he had already purposed in his heart, if it comes to death, then so be it. And for a Christian, the Scripture says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hey, can I say this to you? What do you have to lose by being separate? What do you have to lose by being subjective to the things of God? Hey, listen. He had already made a spiritual decision. Already purposed. To decide I'm going to be separate and I'm going to subject myself. Hey, listen. Here's what Daniel did. He deemed God's will more important than his own. God's will was more important than Daniel's will. You say, but preacher, I got things to do. I got business to build. I got money to make. Well, let me ask you this. In your day of adversity, when you call upon those things, would you please let me know if they deliver you or not? You see, Daniel was not relying on his position. By the way, the only person who was higher in him than kingdom was the king. He wasn't relying on his social status. He wasn't relying on his possessions. He wasn't relying on his bank account. He was relying on one thing and one thing only, and that was his God. Because he knew in my day of adversity, God is the only one that's going to deliver me. You see, folks, too many of God's people have now become worshiping the pocketbook. But in that day of adversity, let me tell you something. There ain't enough money in your bank account to get you out. Hey, listen, Daniel's in the den of lions. Can you imagine? Here they are. They're letting him down in there. I can see him going, a little lower. We're almost there. All right, thanks, guys. See you in the morning. You say, well, that's kind of arrogant. No, no, no. That's called faith, my friend. That's called belief in a God that understands that He will favor and bless people who will give Him honor and glory and will magnify Him with their life. People who make a decision about salvation, people who make a decision about separation, and then people who will deem His will more important than their own. That's called subjection. You see, Daniel never fought his enemies. He submitted to them and went to the den of lions. Again, let me remind you, he realized that salvation and sacrifice are required as part of loyalty. That when he got salvation, he didn't think this was going to be a bed of roses. He didn't think he was going to be adversity free. You see, that motivating factor that pressed Daniel to make that spiritual decision of separation and subjection was his salvation. It was the salvation that he got by grace through faith. Did he deserve it? No. Do we deserve it? No. But God is offering it freely. And let me tell you something. There is a progression here, my friend, that if we don't get back to in the church of the living God, that we're going to find ourselves where we won't even recognize the church. We won't even recognize Christianity 25 years from now. And can I say some one other thing? Did you notice that Daniel didn't go in there and try to save the culture? Amen. Hey, he was in the culture, but he wasn't trying to save the culture. You know what he was trying to do? He's trying to glorify God. And one of those things that he did to glorify God is, number one, he made the decision about salvation. Then he said, I'm going to be separate. And then he says, whatever comes my way, I'm just going to subject myself to it. Whatever God wants. You see, he was very thankful and grateful to God for loving him, being patient with him, being long-suffering with him, caring for him. Hey, listen, Daniel could not escape his love and care for God. That's the reason when Darius came that next morning, Daniel, has thy God delivered thee? He said, don't worry, king. My God, sent an angel and closed the mouth of the lions. And the king said, bring him up. They reeled him up, and he got up there, and he's still biting his nail. And I'm sure, I wonder if someone said, well, did you sleep last night? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Had a nice cushioned pillow. Did you stay warm? Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the lions gathered around me, and man, I just, it was comfortable. I just had a lion's body. I had a mane for my pillow. You say, preacher, did that really happen? I don't know, but I know this. I know that when he was down there, he understood that, you know what? Thank God, because when I'm in the situation that I'm in right now, thank God for salvation. I imagine what ran through his mind that night was, thank God that I decided not to, and purposed in my heart, not to defile myself with the king's meat. Thank God I didn't compromise. Thank God that I did what I knew was right to do. Thank God for the people that taught me. Thank God for what God has done for me. And that's the reason he could subject himself to whatever God allowed to come in his life. You see, what we need to make today, folks, is some spiritual decisions. Hey, we make a lot of decisions, but I wonder how many spiritual decisions need to be made this morning about salvation, separation, and subjection. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder how many of God's people this morning would not be ashamed and say, I'm saved, preacher, no question about it. If I died today, I'm going to heaven, and I'm proud of it, not ashamed of it. I want you to slip your hand up. If you're a child of God this morning, you're not ashamed of being a believer this morning. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm saved, I'm a believer, and I'm proud of it. All right? Wonderful. God bless you. You can put your hands down. As I looked across the auditorium, nobody's looking but me. As I looked across the auditorium, almost every hand was raised, but there were a few that could not raise their hand. I wonder, out of those that could not raise your hand this morning, I wonder how many would say, preacher, would you pray for me? If I died right where I am today, I'd have some doubt about whether I'd go to heaven or not. I've thought about it. Maybe you've laid awake at night thinking about it. Can I ask you something this morning? Why leave this morning having doubt? Why not come and settle it forever in your heart? But at least you would let me pray for you. Hey, we're in church. Let's be honest before God this morning. I wonder how many of you that could not raise your hand would at least let me pray for you and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I've never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Pray for me. I've got some doubt about where I will go for eternity. Nobody's looking at me. You say, preacher, pray for me. Why don't you slip your hand way up high? I say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Okay, God bless you. Who will join this one and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. Are you going to make that spiritual decision this morning about salvation? We're talking about your soul. If you've got doubt this morning, don't leave with doubt. You can leave with security this morning. Anybody will join this one. Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. All right? I wonder if there might be someone here this morning. Say, preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized. After I got saved, I know it's the right thing to do, and I just haven't followed through with that. Please pray for me. I need to obey God in that area. I want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized, preacher. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. All right. God bless you. Got a few young people. All right. Anybody else? Say, preacher, pray for me in that area of my life. All right. You can put your hands down. Let me ask believers something this morning. You say, preacher, I'm a child of God. I'm a believer. But I'm not separate like I ought to be from the world. I'm not separated and consecrated in my Christian life. And I haven't been subjected or I have brought myself into subjection to what God brings into my life. You see, sometimes we want God to deliver us When God says, no, part of the growth process is for me to allow you to go through the process of adversity. And he said, I'll be with you in the adversity like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and like he was with Daniel. You say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm a believer, but I'm not as separated from the world as I need to be. And I know that I need to separate, and I know that there's a place, things in my life that I'm going through. I just need to subject myself to and let God do what he needs to do in my life. Nobody's looking at me. I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm just going to ask you over this congregation this morning, that Spirit of God, that you would hover over this congregation and move from pew to pew and person to person this morning. I do not know everything that every person is going through. I don't know, Lord, what people are facing. I don't know the difficulties that they face, but I know this. We serve a living God. We serve a Savior that wants to save people today. And Lord, maybe there are some this morning that were afraid to raise their hand, but maybe at the invitation they would come. Oh, I want them to be saved so bad. And I ask you, Father, please, that in the name which is above every name, it's the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, that this morning that your name might be magnified. Lord, there were people this morning that needed to be baptized. I pray that they would come. There were many Christians this morning, Lord, that are not in their life separated where they need to be in this society and in our day. That, Lord, you want the visual aid of a Christian. You want us, Lord, to have a testimony. And you want that testimony to be bold. You want that testimony to be, Lord, before the people. And I pray whatever the need is, meet those needs this morning, we pray. And then whatever we go through as a believer, Lord, that we might bring ourselves into subjection to whatever that trial, whatever that situation is. Maybe there's some this morning that are people of God that maybe feel like they're in a den of lions. Maybe they feel like they're in a fiery furnace. Maybe they feel like things are happening so fast in their lives they can't even hardly make decisions. Lord, I pray that today that they might realize that, Lord, in order for you to move as you desire and show favor in their lives, Lord, we're going to have to consecrate ourselves. And Daniel, that day that they lowered him into that den of lions, I'm sure he thought, praise God, that he stood on truth. Praise God that he stood up for Christ. And so I pray today upon these believers that raised their hand that today they would leave this building having rededicated their life to Christ and, Lord, consecrating their life from this day forward. And we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I want to ask the instrument to begin to play. I want to ask our soloist to begin to sing. Would you stand with me? And listen, this morning, if you raised your hand and you said, preacher, I need to be saved. Hey, don't leave this morning without knowing Christ. If you couldn't raise your hand this morning, you said, preacher, I was a little fearful about raising my hand. Listen, come, we'll have somebody show you how to be saved. If you're a man this morning, we'll show you. A man will take you and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take you aside. Oh, listen to me this morning. There's nothing more important than your soul. If you're a child of God this morning, you've already been saved, but you've never been baptized. This is your opportunity to come and do the right thing. Would you come? Would you come? This is your opportunity. Hey, many believers raised their hand just a minute ago and said, preacher, I'm not separated like I need to be. Hey, listen, the altar, this is a place of sacrifice. Would you come and sacrifice yourself this morning and lay it all on the altar of God and leave it at the altar? Go back and serve him. Consecrate.